助けてほしいかナナミ。
心を燃やせ、限界を超えろ。
Hello and welcome to More Than Headlines, your weekly anime news podcast powered by Audio-Technica, made by Australians for global citizens. I'm your extremely humble host, Brendan White, aka the Salt and Peppers Empire, and joining in the studio, my trusted co-host and rival, the Jean Starwin to my Jim Hawking, Mrs. Courtney Smith. How the bloody hell are ya?
I am so good. We are on episode 50 of More Than Headlines, and the fact that we've basically done this consistently for a year is insane to me.
It's impressive in itself, I think. Like, I've spouted on various podcasts over the years. I think the average podcast life cycle is like sub 5 episodes. So wow. For us to do 10 times that amount is very, very impressive. It's a very proud moment, I think, because, yeah, we just started this up as a bit of fun and wasn't really sure where it was going to go. And now we're looking back at 50 episodes today. So happy 50th episodic birthday to us and More Than Headlines.
Yeah, happy birthday, More Than Headlines, and Courtney and Brendan, even though that's me. But 50 episodes, I still cannot believe it. Like, that's a big number.
It is a big number. And you know what? It's just a testament to the vibes we got here. It's testament to the community we've got and just the fun we have. Like, I'm very much... like when I'm in, it's full ass or no ass. Like, so I'm fully committed here. I love what we do each and every week here. I love the energy and the friendship that we've got going here. And like, until any of that passion or that enjoyment wanes, it's like, we'll just let the good times keep rolling until maybe episode 100, 200, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you never know what will happen. And the fact that, where was it? Switzerland that we charted pretty highly, I think.
Yeah, we've got some love all throughout Europe these days, which is good to see. So yeah, shout out to our listeners both locally and abroad here, because yeah, it means a lot that you're checking out this little independent podcast from Australia, from just a couple of randos that love talking about anime. Like, it's a good time. I'm looking at the charts right now. We're number 6 in France right now, Courtney. Number 6 in France.
My God. Bonjour. Bonjour. Omelet du fromage.
All I've got is the bonjour and maybe like pommes frites. Like, you know, that's what I got going on here. But like countries here, obviously charting, just looking at this list, I know we're well off on a tangent here, but this episode is just going to be one giant tangent filled episode, true. I think. You know, charting, shout out to our friends in the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, France, Italy, Germany, France. Oh, I said France again. That was a different category there. Netherlands, Sweden, Finland, Singapore, Japan, China, Poland, Philippines, Norway, Indonesia, India, South Korea, Spain, Ukraine, Russia. The list goes on and on and on here. So shout out to everyone that's checked us out at least once, or if you're stopping by for the first time, you know, thank you. What took you so bloody long first and foremost, but you're here now, so all is forgiven.
Yeah, and this episode we actually are not delivering the news today because it's the 50th episode. So we thought we would do something special and instead answer some questions from our fans.
That's it. Like, yeah, the headline of this episode is We Are The Headline. So yeah, no news. We're going to be talking all kinds of things anime and anime adjacent related. We've got a ton of fun questions that have come our way. So thanks to everybody that took some time to sort of share their thoughts and, you know, throw some simple and maybe some difficult questions as well. There was a few that I squirmed and tossed and turned over a little bit because it was hard to land on an answer that I was going to be happy with, or, you know, I had to sort of look deep within myself a few times, which is a scary thing to do, Courtney.
I actually feel the same. There were some questions where I was like, I'm giving this answer because I hope you won't judge me because I trust you and I trust the listeners. I trust that you guys will hear what I have to say and be like, if you agree with me or disagree, you're like, yeah, that's just Courtney. You know, that's just a girl that's been watching anime seriously since 2012 and she's gone through some shit.
As we all have, we've all, you know, walked our own little paths and that's it. Like, Sakura Society, it's a safe space. It's a largely judge-free space. Yes, we might poke a bit of fun at you, but it does come from a kind and endearing place. Like, when you do mention you might like a certain anime, you might not like, there could be some friendly ribbing, but we're never going to dogpile anybody and make you feel unwelcome. Every opinion is valid. Every opinion is acknowledged and appreciated at the Sakura Society. So yeah, this is a safe space. This is a safe community. Whatever your fandoms are, we don't yuck nobody's yums around here.
Until you hear my answer to the first question.
Maybe not a yuck, maybe like just an ick.
Yeah.
Like, I think ick's like a step down from a yuck.
Yep, definitely. I think some of the answers to these questions, maybe you'll see us in a different light, listener.
Yeah, but that's totally fine because we pride ourselves on honesty and openness here on More Than Headlines and Sakura Society as a whole. So you're going to get our unapologetically unfiltered vibe here each and every time we jump on this microphone. All right, Courtney. So the first question, what was your guilty pleasure anime 10 years ago and why? And how does it compare to your current guilty pleasure anime? Doesn't have to be something you rewatch, but simply could be an anime that you didn't necessarily broadcast you're watching because of ... judgment.
Okay, so 10 years ago, I was 20, and an anime that I was obsessed with was Valkyrie Drive Mermaid. And you're like, Courtney, Valkyrie Drive Mermaid, that's that anime about the two girls that are in love and one of them turns the other one into a weapon by making her orgasm, right? And to you, dear listener, I will say yes, that is the anime that was my guilty pleasure anime 10 years ago.
I think we might have to pause this podcast now for reasons because I need to go watch this entire series just to make sure I understand this premise because I haven't copped any Valkyrie Drive Mermaid, but color me intrigued, Courtney.
All right, I will say, though, this anime, Yuri wins every time, first of all, correct, but this anime, I had the biggest crush on Mire, who's the blonde, tall, blonde, busty, like Onee-san type who activates the weapon girl. And, you know, at the time I was like, I thought I was straight. I was obviously not straight. And I thought this anime was really cool. And I thought I was really cool for saying that I watched this anime and very quickly discovered I was not cool for saying that I watched this anime.
I think you're pretty damn cool. And I respect you owning it here publicly on a podcast that is listened to all around the world, as we confirmed earlier. So I don't know how many eyes are rolling and podcasts are getting paused or stopped at that sort of juncture now, but you do you. You own your truth, and I love that about you. If we're going to go reflective, one that I didn't really talk about too much before, I guess we talk about our maybe potential current day guilty pleasures. Ikki Tausen is the one I wanted to mention. I don't know if you copped any of this back in the day, but you know, the premise of cute, often busty, scantily clad girls from seven different schools all fighting for supremacy, while also then having this layer and wrinkle added to it where they can, you know, wear and hold magical jewels that contain the essence of like ancient warriors to give them additional enhanced fighting abilities. You know, that is all well and good, but then no matter how little or how different they get punched or hit, like they get kicked in the shin, but yet somehow their top bursts off and their bra explodes. Like the fan service is frequent. It is often. The animation is reasonably decent. The story is, yeah, as deep as a puddle, but it tries to think that it's pretty serious. But it is fan service 101 with a lot of boobies, a lot of girls in awkward based positions while fighting for their, you know, their school and fighting for their right there. So it ain't the best, but I used to sort of stand on this a little bit back in the day, Courtney.
Look, I will say the outfits that all of the girls wear are really cute. And like outside of the context of it being a weird, ecchi series, you know, that's a good cosplay, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
But now my guilty pleasure, and I feel like it's less of a shameful or fear of judgment thing, but more because I know it's not fantastic. I know it's not the best anime in the world, but it's something that when I watch, I just feel so cozy and so happy. And I feel like if someone said to me, like, you know, what's your favorite anime? And I said this to them, they'd be like, but that's so nothing. And I'd be like, shut up. Literally, shut up. It's Aharen-san. I really grew out of my phase of watching ecchi and grew into my phase of watching like Iyashike healing slice of life with like a silly main character. And Aharen-san just brings me so much joy that every week when a new episode drops, I'm just so excited to like snuggle up in my bed and like watch on my phone and be like, ooh, hee hee.
It's so silly and so wholesome and relatable at times as well. Like, it is a very inoffensive anime that I love too. Like, it is great. And I'm with you. Like, it doesn't get its flowers anywhere near enough because I think it's just consistently good to great and it's entertaining from the opening through to the ending. And yeah, I'm with you. Like, Aharen-san is awesome. I'm the same. Like, I don't really have guilty pleasures or anime that I guess I'm keeping from society due to fear of, I don't know, getting lynched or something like that. Like, I'm pretty open with the stuff that I'm watching. And I'll own sometimes if I'm watching something that is complete gutter trash and know that the pitchforks are coming. But I sort of ummed and ahed on this question for a little while. And I think Food Wars is where I ultimately landed. Like, it is very divisive, but I think it is so fantastically written as well as animated. I like the story. I like the progression. I like the food related battle scenes, like Iron Chef the anime with fan service. Like, let's go. That sells me 100 times out of 100. I love the characters. I love the world. I love the zaniness. And yeah, I can't get enough of Food Wars. So that's probably my guilty pleasure anime, because sometimes you say that to people and they're like, oh, it's just food porn. And it's like, and there's something wrong with that, motherfucker.
But here's the thing, though. I feel like Food Wars is genuinely a good anime. Yeah. Like, it has good animation. It has, like, a fun premise, good action, good plot. But, you know, like, it's genuinely a good piece of art. And I feel like it's, people do judge you a lot for that if you say you like Food Wars.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm owning that. Like, it is, depending on my mood, and we'll talk about sort of our favorite anime of all time later, but it is in my top 10 of all time. Like, I love Food Wars that much.
No, I respect it. But let's go. Oh,
yeah. Question number two.
Yeah. Can you read this one?
I can, because yeah, I'm sort of on the sidelines for this one. So, question for Courtney. Brendan, myself, used to host The Hungry Gamers and has talked about a lot of his loves of food and gaming in the past. We know you're a big league girly, but what are some of your favorite foods? Now, there is some you know, Japanese at the end, so I don't know what it says. I could have translated it beforehand, but I'm a fool.
I'll read it. It says, okay. Nani ga suki desu ka? What do you like?
Okay.
And this is actually interesting because I knew that Brendan used to do kind of a gaming podcast. I didn't realize that the podcast was about games and food, though, actually, which is interesting.
I just always weave in like a good burger that I ate here or there, or, you know, whether I'm hungry for gaming or just hungry for the sake of being hungry. Like, I can't not talk about food in just about everything I do. I'm very food driven, as you can probably gather.
Yeah, like a strange two-legged dog.
That might be the most hurtful thing you've ever said about me.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me. No, I'll answer the question though. I actually love a lot of comfort foods, anything carby, saucy, cheesy, and preferably vegetarian, because I am really, really picky about my meat and meat texture. So if it has like fat or gristle or bone, I tend to avoid it. So anything that is like, you know, vegetarian and saucy and carby that I can just like shove into my mouth without any worry, love. I especially love pasta and Italian food in general, but also Korean and Japanese are my other favorite cuisines. But when I really, really think about it, nothing will go past me if it's basically a bowl of pasta with a tomato-based sauce, like, ooh, covered in basil, yeah, and cheese. Like, that's me. Done.
Yeah, I'm a red sauce boy as well when it comes to pastas. Like, don't get me wrong, love a good carbonara and stuff like that, but red sauce is king, especially like, what's your stance on like white sauce based pizzas? You know how that's sort of a thing in some good traditional Italian restaurants?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's not my favorite, but if it's there and that's like all there is to eat, I'll eat it. I'm generally not a picky eater if it's vegetarian or if it's like a meat that I know is safe, I guess, quotation marks. But yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I'm a fan of most foods. I'm pretty forgiving. I'll eat high end, low end, trash, and everything else in between. Like, I'm just very appreciative of a good meal. Italian, I'm gonna blanket statement and say like Asian cuisine, mm-hmm. because love Chinese, love Japanese, love Korean, would get down with some Indonesian, would get down with some Vietnamese. Like, I'd eat it all, you know, whatever you throw in front of me, hell to the yeah. And then Mexican is my probably third fave. Like, they're just, they can be really dialed up and be really like high end, like a la carte, Michelin star level tier, but then you can get just real cheap, nasty, dingy places where, you know, the wallpaper's falling off the walls and there's no padding on the seats anymore and it's the most rat's nesty looking place, and then you'll have like the best fried rice you've ever had in your life or something. So I just like good food, no matter how it comes, no matter where it comes from. And then also the company, when you are having said food, can really elevate that experience as well. Like, because there's nothing better when you take someone to a recommendation. And like me as well, like, I especially pride myself on food recommendations. Like, I take a lot of pride and responsibility in that decision, for better or for worse. But when I sit down with somebody and watch them take that bite for the first time, and I'm watching them to see how they react, and if you get like a little food shimmy out of them or something, like, you know, nothing is better in life than those moments.
That's very true. It's like when I took you to that Italian place when you came, I don't remember the name of it, but, and we had to wait for like an hour to get in. I was like, Brennan, please trust me, it's worth the wait. And then I saw you try like all the side dishes first and you're like, oh my God, okay. It was definitely worth the wait.
The name escapes me, but yeah, that place slaps so hard. And even like when you were in Coz and we went and had some ramen on the back end of TGX, like, yeah, like they're some of my favorite memories and experiences in all of life, I think, just those shared food moments.
Yes, I 100% agree. But let's get back on the topic of anime. What anime holds the title of your most life-changing anime, something that changed your entire perception of what anime is?
I think I'm sort of going to come at this from a very different lens than most, because I didn't get to experience, like, you hear most stories about people growing up with Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball and things like that due to, you know, breakfast television before school. But I stumbled into anime at probably the wrong point in my life, because I was like 7-8 years old. And what I stumbled into was a very adult and mature themed film. Fantastic piece of media. I love it. Like, yes, there is some stuff in there that you would not recommend to everybody, because there is some shit going on. But Ninja Scroll was the film that really put me on this path and made me just immediately just take a step back, because before that I was just watching, you know, standard Western cartoons and stuff. And now I'm watching this really cool, really gory, really horrific ninja-based jaunt that has hyper violence and people getting cut to bits, and there's nudity and demons and all this stuff. And as a like a kid who's still, I guess, trying to understand what he loves as far as fandoms and genres and stuff, this just really set me on a path. And I remember watching this late on a Friday night at my grandma's house with my uncle, who's 7 years older than me. So he was, you know, 15 or so at the time. So he probably should have been watching something like this too, because this is an R18 anime. Like, it is not for the faint of heart. But I just remember watching this going, what is this world? What is this medium? Why are all these adult grown-up things happening when, like, this morning I was watching, I don't know, Roger Ramjet or some bullshit, and now I'm watching people get cut to bits by one of the eight devils of Kimon that can turn to stone. And there's some other stuff. I don't want to mention some of the stuff because it is heavy, but that was the tone setter for me, where I'm like, whoa, okay, what is this world? What are these crazy people in Japan up to? I want to watch this stuff now. I am done with Samurai Peak to Cats and all this other nonsense I'm watching in the morning. This is what I want.
Not Samurai Pizza Cats.
Which is still great in its own right. I loved it too.
Oh my gosh, that is wild, honestly, because when I was thinking about this question, I really thought about when my perspective on anime shifted, because like you said, like, I grew up watching Cheese TV. I was obsessed with Sailor Moon, Pokemon, and Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, to the point where my whole, like, I had a Yu-Gi-Oh! Bedspread. I had Yu-Gi-Oh t-shirt, Pokemon this, Sailor Moon that, like everything. And then I got to high school and my friend introduced me to Black Butler, which was my first realization that anime isn't just like kids shows in the morning. And but that still didn't change my perspective. The anime I think that did was The Flowers of Evil, which aired in 2013, and it was the first rotoscoped anime I'd watched. And up until this point, I'd only watched things that were animated in like the kind of traditional way of anime of the time. But this one was rotoscoped, and I just remember being online as like a 17, 18 year old girl and people going, this anime is so bad because like it's not done in a traditional animation style, it's rotoscoped, it looks like shit. I was like, to me, the way that it was animated, but at the same time the story and the themes that were coming through blended so seamlessly that I was like, wow, anime really is something special. Like the fact that you can do something in any animation style and that's anime, and it can be as ridiculous or as serious or as dark or as bright as you want it to be, is crazy to me. And then on the back of that, a few years later, I watched Serial Experiments Lane, which had pretty similar like darkness in terms of the theming. So those series, but especially Flowers of Evil, really for me, I was like, wow, okay, anime is not just Yu-Gi-Oh, it's not just Black Butler, it's not just Death Note, it's art.
And I am in agreement wholeheartedly with everything you said there. Like we always say on this podcast and in general conversation, like anime is art, there is something for literally everybody out there. And yeah, there is a genre, a theme, a tone that is unique to whatever you're seeking at the time. Like it is the most diverse, like this and video games are the best vessels for storytelling, I feel, in the world by far, no debate, shut the door, full stop, etc., etc. And yeah, shout out to Serial Experiments Lane. That is unique experience, especially like it's some really great dystopian sci-fi cyberpunky madness, and you know the wired internet equivalent that's going on in there. Like it is a lot, and it is a bit of a brain rot where if you're not paying attention you will get so confused as to what's happening. But the story's great and it has just this vibe and tone that is still so unique to this day. And I need to rewatch Serial Experiments Lane.
I actually went and bought the Blu-ray because I was like, I feel like this is going to be lost media. Like Serial Experiments Lane is so underrated and not as well known, but the people that know it, I feel like they have a real taste for something beautiful. So I was like, I have to own the Blu-ray of this. I'm glad I do.
I love that. That's a good collector piece for sure. Hang on to that because yeah, I'd say it's going to get rarer as we continue to push more into digital. All right, Courtney, I want to know, what is an anime that you're or a little embarrassed to love?
All right. Maybe you know this about me. Maybe you don't. I love gag humor in anime. I love an anime that is like silly pranks, ridiculous, like yucky jokes, something that's like something about poop or snot or, you know, body parts or someone falling over and hurting themselves. I love that kind of gag humor, especially when it's kind of the absurdity is turned to the max. So the anime I'm embarrassed to love is Prison School. And the reason that this is embarrassing is because this is an ecchi anime about five boys that get sent to prison, a prison in an all-girls school, but the prison is run by the student council, and the student council are really sexy, and one of them has a piss kink. So that's like the basis that we're working off of, but the animation is insane. Like the budget for this was crazy. It looks so good. I cannot fault the animation. The story is ridiculous. The humor is hilarious. The references are great. And I think I cannot fault Prison School at all. And I know that maybe people are like, Courtney, what the hell? You said you love Aharon-san and now you're talking about Prison School. What?
Yeah, you are going from one end of the spectrum to the next here with those recommendations. Like, it is really enjoyable. It is really absurd. And One thing I love with Prison School is it knows exactly what it's trying to set out to be, and it just sticks to that formula right from the first episode through to episode 12, I think it only runs for, which is a shame. I wouldn't be sad if they release more of this, because it is silly and horrific and horny in all the right ways. And like you said, like the animation from JC Staff, like phenomenal. I know they did a live action drama of this that I'm yet to check out. I don't know if you've watched the live action, but I'm curious to see if it can sort of capture that same essence.
I imagine it probably would, just because of the way that the anime is set up. I haven't seen the OVA though, but I really like Prison School. Like if you see me walking around and you're like, Courtney, do you want to talk about Prison School? I'll be like, hell yeah. Yeah.
Have you got a spare couple of hours? Shall we talk with?
Yes. Would you like to watch Prison School? I know a really good scene where there's a golden shower. Anyway, Brendan, what's the anime that you're a little embarrassed to love?
This is hard, and I'm going to take the easy cop-out answer here, because I own my fandoms for better or for worse and don't really keep anything hidden or out of the public eye as far as anime that I enjoy or have consumed. Like, I've watched a lot of shit, and I've watched a lot of shit. Like, yeah, like the bar starts very, very low as far as things I've watched and potentially enjoyed here or there during said viewing. So I wouldn't say that I'm embarrassed, but I know it can be a divisive sort of genre and something that you're certainly out on. But like, I do have a bit of a soft spot and a sort of a blind spot, you could almost say, for a good crappy isekai. I watch a few of them every season. I watch a few of them, you know, with pride in my eyes and stoicism and all this kind of stuff. And most of the time they let me down. But like, yeah, that's sort of a cycle that I can't get out of, but I also don't think I want to get out of at the same time.
I just watch you do it to yourself every 3 months. Like, we go through our plan to watch lists and you're like, yeah, so I'm going to watch Born into Another World with Magic Powers and My Sister's in Love with Me. And I'm like, Brendan, it's not going to be good. And you're like, oh, it'll be fine. And then we get to the end of the season. I'm like, oh, so how is that sister anime? And you're like, oh, it was so bad. I'm like, Brendan.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like this is sort of my charitable work that I'm doing for the community. I'm watching these things so you all don't have to. But also, I think there is just this unabashed fandom that I have for that genre that I just can't sort of quit.
I mean, we all have our moments. And while I am kind of judging you, I get it. It's fine.
I appreciate that.
I picked Prison School, so you're allowed crappy isekai.
Yeah, that's fair. That's it. You actually pick like a fantastic little piss cover gem right there, I gotta say.
I know.
So well done to you.
But when you describe that anime to someone, like, it just sounds so bad.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But it's surprisingly good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Surprisingly good. All right, Courtney, I wanna know, like, we all know that filler is often looked down upon, but do you have any filler arcs/episodes that you particularly like?
I actually want to address the fact that filler is looked down upon, first of all, because I personally love filler episodes. I find it's, for me, a bit of a relief when we cut from the action and the intensity of whatever the main arc is driving through and we cut to something really ridiculous. Once again, I think like playing into that love of gag humor and absurd comedy, things like that. So my favorite filler episode, and the first one that I really understood, where I understood what filler was, is the filler episode in Naruto where Team 7 try to see what's under Kakashi's mask and they're just like pulling it, like imagining it and pulling it down. It's like big lips, sometimes it's like a scar, like all these different things, and it's just really, really funny. And once again, playing into that sense of like a visual gag there.
I think I'm going to look at it from two fronts here, because when we're looking at like the long, long form storytelling that goes hundreds or thousands of episodes where there is just big blocks of filler, I hate that. I'm out on that. Respect viewers' time. But when it comes to those catch your breath moments in between big set pieces, especially when we get like, you know, I'm an unabashed fan here. I'm going to say I do love like a good relaxation weekend getaway episode where we see the crew go to a beach and we do get a little bit of bit of etchy or a bit of fandom going on where the stakes are as low as can be, and whatever big bad or big drama that they dealt with sort of the episode prior, you know, it's in the rearview mirror. Everyone's having a good time. It's usually a fun, nothing type of episode. I'm a big fan of those, and even just like the unique sort of breakaway OVAs we get here and there erratically with other anime. Like, I'm a big fan of that because it usually completely flips the usual tone and story that we're used to. So if it's like in a more controlled aspect where we've got, you know, 12 or 24 episodes and we've got a filler episode in there once in a while, cool. But when we're getting like full filler arcs and blocks, in the bin.
I love a filler arc. I love something ridiculous, I think, is my biggest takeaway. And filler, mm-hmm. especially in shonen where you see most filler, more often than not, because it's, you know, non-canon technically, because it is splitting from the story, it kind of has to be ridiculous and really signpost itself as, you know, this isn't true. Kakashi doesn't have a big pair of juicy red lips under his mask, even though that would be fantastic. But he may. But that's, you know, what it is. So, I don't know. But let's talk about something a little less fun than filler. What do you think is the biggest anime or manga fall off where something started really, really strong and then just kind of lost itself?
Tokyo Ghoul was the first thing that came to mind for me. Like, I thought that first season was so strong and so impactful and so cool. Loved the world, loved the concept, loved the soundtrack that accompanied it. Like, everything was just like oozing polish and like slickness. And then after that, like, as we sort of got partway through season two, it just nosedove and it never recovered. Like, we saw various time skips going back and forth that didn't really make a ton of sense. We had a studio change partway through this sort of anime run as well. And it just completely tanked the adaptation from the manga. You know, the manga's good to great, not perfect, but it is a more cohesive story getting told in comparison to that anime adaptation. And then when we had, you know, that big 10-year reveal last year that we were hyping up, oh, is it going to be a remake? What's going to happen here? And then it's like, joke's on you, suckers. We've just got art prints in a Japanese gallery. Go check it out. And you're like, you sons of bitches. Oh, what could have been caught?
No, I get that. I actually still haven't seen Tokyo Ghoul, which does go into our next question. But to answer this one, I haven't seen Tokyo Ghoul, so I can't speak to that, but I have heard so many people with the same opinion where season one does really, really well. Season two, just avoid it. And for me, another anime like that, in terms of seasons, like season one being amazing, season two falling off, is probably something like Psycho Pass, or even the anime with Fushi, the orb, the rock, the guy.
I'm blanking. I'm just thinking about Psycho Pass.
Psycho Pass, Fushi, where he is To Your Eternity.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. First season, amazing. Second season, Sopu.
Yes, but Sopu. The one I actually wrote here, and this one I think is only here for me because it took me so long to read, or to watch the series, is Spice and Wolf, Merchant Meets the Wise Wolf. And like I said to Brendan when it first started airing, I've been wanting to watch this anime, the original, for 10 years. So I went in thinking like, oh my God, it's going to be amazing. This is like an iconic series. Everybody knows it. And then the first 10 to 12 episodes were great. And then the rest of the season just could not hold my attention. And I don't know if that was the case for everyone, but for me, it was definitely a disappointment.
Yeah, it was not a disappointment for me. Like, we're going to talk about like anime opinions that we disagree on and like later on in the piece here. But this is one like I enjoyed it. I feel, yes, certainly that first core was strongest by a good country mile or whatever terms of measurement they were using back in this time period. It ended not as strongly as it began, but I was still fully engrossed. Like, loved the characters, loved the art style, and just the biggest thing that I think carried it for me was just the vocal work from the voice actors themselves. Like, it feels very much like they're talking in like to each other in poetry form, and that just, I guess, gave it a little bit of unfair bias from me, because anytime I see that in media, I'm like, yeah, I'm in, I'm floating along on this, like, serenade me with your words, please.
You're such a romantic.
Yeah, for better or for worse, Courtney, for better or for worse.
Okay, Brennan, what anime would people be surprised to discover is in your plan to watch list?
This was another tough one because, you know, as evidenced by this episode and the other 49 before this, I watch a lot of crap. I watch a lot of stuff. I watch too much stuff, if I'm being completely honest. So I don't know if this impacts my anime street cred, but like apart from catching a few episodes during those early school-based years on a, you know, Monday through Friday morning, I have no real skin in the game with like Dragon Ball and Naruto as a whole. Like I couldn't tell you who most of the characters are. I couldn't tell you what the arcs are. I couldn't tell you about the big things that have happened over these last several decades. So those two, I know you mentioned to watch list and they're not on my to watch list. I'm never going to watch these. And I'm saying that like hand to heart, happy for everyone that loves them. I ain't going back. I'm happy for y'all, but good luck with that. But the other one that is on my watch list that I don't know how I just haven't taken the time to hit play on would be Kingdom, because I think we've got 4 seasons now. Awesome period piece drama that is so highly regarded and highly reviewed, and yet I haven't copped a single minute of it. So that's the one that I feel is screaming at me the most, because I know in my bones that I'm going to love this, but I just haven't hit it.
Yeah, I feel like, especially as people that watch anime seasonally, for us, it's really hard to catch up on the previous stuff that's aired. And especially for me, where my anime watching tends to ebb and flow. Like at the moment, I'm definitely in one of those like ebbing phases where I'm not really watching as much. I'm focusing on other things. That's just how things work for me. Like I'll miss some seasons here and there. One that I missed in one of those ebb phases was the Fruits Basket remake. And as someone who loves romance anime, who loves the original Fruits Basket, missing this one, I'm like, I wish I hadn't, because I know it's going to be on my plan to watch list for a decade now. So that's my big one, I think.
And that's a huge one because it is so good. Like it is on the fringe of the top 10 all time for me. Like I love it. It made me feel all the feels. Gorgeously animated, gorgeously written. A lot of heart, both good and bad at times, as far as the high highs and the low lows. And like it's got that mysticism combined with the love that I know that you're such a big fan of with some of your favorites. So I know when it comes time for you to consume this, you are going to like leave with a very full and satisfied belly, because it's going to be so tasty because it's fantastic.
It will just take me so long to get there. There are so, honestly, I've been adding to my plan to watch list for over 10 years. I currently have 522 series on that list, and that includes things like 86, let me see what else, the second season of Free, there's Goblin Slayer, there are these like big anime titles that people love that I just have not seen yet, like, and Kaguya-sama. I literally haven't seen Kaguya-sama,
another one that I know you are gonna love,
you know, right? And it's like, Just get around to it. But it's like, no, I have to watch current stuff so I can keep up. But there's just so much anime.
We almost need to like instill a rule here on the podcast. Maybe not right now, but like something where it's like, we're going to purposely reduce one of the anime from our seasonal watch list upcoming and put in something from our legacy watch list.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that could be fun.
Well, I do slowly do that. I tend to... Like the reason I'm watching Girls Band Cry now is because I had some time left over at the end of last season where I'd fully caught up on everything at the end of the season. And then I had time to watch Girls Band Cry. And now I'm currently sitting on like episode 9 or 10 of that. I've almost finished it. So.
That's how they wave.
It is how they wave. For
the audio listeners, we just gave each other the middle finger.
So I do try and do it, but yeah, it's really, really hard.
I get you. Something else that's hard sometimes with anime is overflowing of emotion. So this question is going to hit right on that. Courtney, I want to know, what anime made you cry the most?
I am the kind of person to cry at the drop of a hat. So a lot of anime make me cry, but the ones that made me cry the most that I physically remember bawling my eyes out were Anohana.
Menma!
My God. And Clannad. That, my God. That both season one and two, the fact that it takes you from like, yay, fun, cheery slice of life to, oh my God, people are sick and dying. And I'm like, why have you done this to me? Why?
Yeah, they both hit like a giant emotional Mack truck. And I'm right there with you. Both awesome stories in their own right. But yeah, like get the sad tissues ready, because those tears will be flowing like thick and fast, I feel.
Yeah.
The one that stands out to me, same sort of beats as what Courtney just mentioned. Like, I cry in most things, happy things, sad things, everything else in between. I just sort of feel things a lot bigger than maybe sometimes I want to, and I can't help that. But like, Your Lie in April is the one for me. It's my favorite anime of all time. And the first time I watched it, I binged all 22 episodes in one single sitting. Like, I started, I don't know, sometime, it was like Saturday afternoon at some time. And by the time I rolled credits, it was like 4 a.m. on Sunday. And I like just cried for like 4 hours straight at the back half of this thing. My eyes were on fire. They were red. I had like dry, salty tear residue all over my face. And I remember just like stumbling to bed just as like a husk of a human being, and just lying down and just being so sad, thinking about this amazing story that I just sort of experienced in a very compressed time period that I was not ready for.
And I think as well, like watching an anime like that, that's like super emotional, and starting it in the middle of the day or in the afternoon is so brutal. Cause I did the same with Cyberpunk Edgerunners and kind of binged that. And it was like a hot summer afternoon, and I was just like bawling my eyes out, and I was like, why am I here? I'm too hot and sweaty for this. Like, it's too much.
The things we do for our art, Courtney. The things we do for our art.
Truly. But speaking of art, sometimes art likes to copy itself. So let's talk about anime tropes. Brendan, what is a recurring anime trope that you secretly love or hate?
I'm not going to mention any that I hate. Mm-hmm. I'm going to more so lean into the positives here. And it ties into some of the laugh stereotypes that we get in anime. Like, if we can get like a good, oh, ho, ho, or a like, or a like, anytime I get one of those on screen, I fucking die. They get me so good every time without fail, and it just immediately just turns the energy and the enjoyment up for me without fail every time. So high fives to those very cheeky, very specifically placed laughs. But I also love when we see any type of character pushing their glasses up with the two fingers. And that's whether, you know, whether they've just been outsmarted with someone, they're just like, oh, you know, you clever son of a bitch, like, you got me now. Or when shit's about to go down, they're about to sort of just crush heads. Like, so it's either the old double finger glasses adjustment or the various novelty laughs. They are a couple of my favorites.
I think the funny thing as well with the novelty laughs is the animation that goes with it, like the oh, 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 or like this, the back of the hand, and the like the cheeky so little face is so good. To me, though, an anime trope that I secretly love, I love a tsundere love interest. I love the girl that's cold on the outside but so obsessed with the main character on the inside. I know it's so overdone. I know it's cringe, but I just relate to those girls so much. So I really, really love it. And I didn't have one that I hated, but like thinking about it real quick, I don't love an overpowered MC. Like, it does get boring very, very quickly. And I know it's probably like the biggest one, so it's not really a secret, but someone that's really, really strong all of a sudden or from the beginning, unless it is One Punch Man where it's kind of subverting that trope, I'm like, nah, do not care.
That's fair. That's fair. And I've sort of just been thinking on the fly, and I think the trope that I hate is the oblivious love interest scenarios where they clearly love each other, or for some reason or another, they can't say their feelings or they're misreading the situation. Like, I do love a bit of confusion and self-doubt and a bit of uncertainty in those early stages. But when it goes multiple seasons, or when they're actually then in a relationship and they're still overthinking and just oblivious to the signs and seeing the heart in their partner's eyes, that really gets me.
Yeah. No, I get that. When they're like, it's just so obvious as well. So obvious yeah. that the girl likes them or is interested in them. And then they just are like, oh, but what if she hates me? And I'm like, I hate you. Sort your shit out.
Make a move, dickhead. All right. So, yeah, I mentioned this earlier. Oops, as I nearly knock over some delicious plum soju. Thank you, Oni. Mentioned this earlier in the potty. And this question is, have you ever completely disagreed on an anime take? Let's hear it. So this is a tough one because I think we're in lockstep pretty consistently here on the potty. There isn't too many sort of zigs where you're zagging between us. Like I did mention the fantasy isekai stuff and you're a little out on that. But what comes to mind for you for this question?
I actually have the exact same opinion as you in this question. And I actually took inspo from your answer, but it's a battle fantasy anime. I just, no matter how good it is, I think battle fantasy anime is just crap. Like, I don't know what it is about it. I just cannot get into it for the life of me. It's so boring. Like, yeah, okay, cool. You can shoot fire from a wand. Do I care? No.
Harsh yet accurate to a degree as well, like, because there is some pretty poo battle fantasy, but there is some really good stuff. Like, I think you will really enjoy Dan Marshy when you eventually get it. Is it wrong to try and pick up girls in a dungeon? It does battle fantasy right. So I hope one day on episode like 150, you're like, you know what, I just finished the first season of Is It Wrong to Try and Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon, and you know what, battle fantasy ain't that bad.
I feel like as well, so many battle fantasy anime have like 5+ seasons. I don't have time, you know? Like, the thing I love about romance and slice of life is usually it's like 1 or 2 seasons, maybe 3 if you're lucky, and then it's done. But battle fantasy and shonen, they love to just have a million episodes. I'm like, no, I don't care. I don't have time. Fairy tale, I'm looking at you. Too much.
And what a mid anime that is anyway. All right. The last bout of the first part of our listener-based questions, Courtney, have any anime inspired you in real life?
Yes. In fact, for me, the one that has inspired me and I've actually gone and done the thing afterwards is 1 Ounce, which inspired me to play baseball. And you might think, you know, what about like the other cool baseball anime? Because 1 Ounce is actually about gambling and cheating at baseball. So that inspired me to play baseball. And I played in Perth for like 2 years with a university club. And then I injured myself. So I stopped. But 1 Ounce inspired me to play baseball. What about you?
Do you think the fantastic anime, The Catcher in the Ballpark, will inspire you to get back to baseball?
No. It might inspire me to drink some beer.
There's so many good baseball anime, though. My goodness, like Ace of Diamond is the one that always mm-hmm. comes to mind for me. But it's probably like 24 baseball anime out there, and most of them are probably worth your time. Yeah, I'd say I get regularly inspired by anime that I watch, whether it be, you know, minor subtle life lessons that I can sort of take and sort of implement in my day to day, or try and sort of rewire my thinking of certain things. But I feel anytime I see a good underdog story, it certainly gives me that initial kick in the bum to like give something a try and you know, like, what's the worst that can happen type of mindset. But also like some of the creative based anime where they're, you know, something like Blue Period really, really like gets me going, where you're seeing these young early adults, blood, sweat and tears related to their artistic crafts and endeavors, and trying to sort of make sort of the best person they can be in and around their art. So that really got me. Like Flower and Usura last season really got me too, tying into sort of the you know, indirect relation here with podcasting, with audio engineering and spoken word and stuff. So anything that's either adjacent to what I'm already doing that can help give me that additional oomph to keep pushing, or something that I'm curious about that's piqued my interest. Like maybe now I think about it now, like, you know, I'm trying to have a bit more of a crack with sort of voice acting and stuff. Maybe like watching Flower and Astra, even though the season ended a little bit poo, leading up to that moment, probably subconsciously was planting these seeds to finally have a crack and see what's out there. So yeah, it depends on the year. Who knows what's going to inspire me next year that I'm going to be trying. But yes, anime does inspire me quite often.
I hope it's not like Ikki Tao-sen or something that inspires you.
I just want to be the jewel that they wear. Like, just, you know, embed me in a necklace and let me just sit between those boobs, please. But anyway, we're gonna park the fan base questions here now. We're gonna sort of have a little bit of a back and forth here just to sort of talk about our own personal favorite anime. Like, we don't have to have them in any, you know, particular order, but I've sort of just grabbed, you know, the first five that come to mind for me. And we can sort of, I don't know if we want to go deep on all of them because we might be here for potentially, you know, 7 episodes worth of content, but maybe we can just share with the audience, because I don't think we've sort of gone into any sort of specifics related to, you know, our tops. We've mentioned a few here and there, I think, erratically, but we'll sort of hit it in more of a cohesive manner today. So, yeah, let's talk about your all-time faves.
My top five, in no particular order and subject to change: Black Butler, Himoto Umaru-chan, K-On! That one really has a special place in my heart, Akagi, not Kaiji, but Akagi. And my number one favorite, with a bullet, Kami Summer Kiss.
Fantastic, fantastic entries there. Like, this is one of the first times where we don't really have any direct crossovers between sort of anime lists. Like, I think we love and enjoy a lot of the same stuff, but I guess our Mount Rushmores are a little different here.
Yeah, and I think
probably fine.
Often we talk about these lists seasonally as well, right? Where we do get a lot of crossover because it is a select, you know, 10 to 20 anime that we're picking from, and there can only be so many great ones, right? So the fact that we're talking about our all-time favorites really makes a difference.
Yeah, and this was hard, like, to narrow it down to five. So in typical Brendan fashion, I've sort of skirted around those rules and said my number five could sometimes sort of bounce between Gurren Lagann, Food Wars, and Code Geass, depending on the mood. All fantastic anime, all very different anime between themselves. I feel this next one can be a little bit of a, whoa, it's there already, but like Dandadan is in my top 10 for me, more so on the back of the future premise, knowing what's to come from the manga. And if they can maintain this consistency of this anime, it'll be up there. So this is more of like a future prediction slash hope slash also, I love that first season. You love that first season. I think it's really special. Violet Evergarden is in my top five as well. Really beautiful storytelling. Some of the best animation in all of anime that you will ever see. I will die on that hill. Another heart-wrenching story as well. Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. I feel it's still probably one of the universal benchmarks when people sort of say, what's the best anime of all time? You can't really go too far without seeing that on someone's list. And my favorite anime, which I mentioned earlier that made me cry a lot, Your Lie in April. That relationship between Kosei and Kari still just hits me so hard and so deep, and I love this world, and I love the use of, you know, young love as a sort of storytelling vessel combined with the love of music. And it just so happens like the two instruments that those two play are two of my favorite instruments to listen to, so piano and violin. So seeing all this come together over 22 episodes, I can't fault it. I love it so much.
Yeah, it is interesting seeing our favorites kind of side by side here and seeing the difference. Like, we both have a romance anime as our number one, but the difference in tone is really interesting there.
Yeah, you know, great minds think alike, and sometimes we think alike adjacent here. And yes, shout out to Akagi on that list too. Super duper mega underrated. No one talks about that anywhere near enough, in my opinion.
I love Akagi. But let's get back to our questions from the Sugoi Squad. Brendan, if you could live in any anime world for 1 year, which would it be and what would your role be there?
I wrote my first part of the answer because I didn't see the 1 year bit at first. And I thought, you know, what world could I live in like forever? So I thought like the easiest layup answer that a lot of people I think would just gravitate towards would be like Pokemon. I feel It's just, it's a friendly vibe. You never hear really about any human related deaths. The animals and the nasty creatures you see out there, you can befriend them. And, you know, we'll talk about animal enslavement and things maybe in a future episode. There is some dark subtext there, but like overall, I feel that's a great vibe. I would definitely be like the apprentice to Nurse Joy, or, you know, something like that. You know, she can teach me how to keep all these Pokemon safe. I can just hang out in like, you know, Pallet Town, nice, calm, quiet, sleepy life. And I'm just sort of a bit character in the back that's sort of the young sort of like second year nursing student working with Nurse Joy. So that's my first thought. But then I saw the 1 year part. Okay, where can I experience some good vibes that resonate with things that I love? And so I've gone with Restaurant to Another World. Really awesome slice of life fantasy anime with a heavy sort of leaning towards food and cuisine. So I feel I want to be the sous chef to Master, or if we want to get a little bit out there in the pervies, I want to be in the Konosuba world, and I'm going to be Darkness's steward because of reasons.
We do love Darkness. She is best girl in Konosuba for sure. For me, I would live in the world of Lucky Star, and I just want to be a background student, just like taking in the shenanigans from the main cast and like going to the school store and like buying bread and having fun, like studying, living in a comedy anime. It sounds pretty fun, honestly.
I feel you might start as the background character in episode one, but by episode two or three, little Courtney Chan is just pile driving her way into the sort of lead ensemble and just creating maximum hijinks. So as much as you just want to be like, you know, back row beside the MC, just getting a couple of words here and there, no, you are coming in and derailing that world very quickly, I'm sure.
That's true. I would not be able to keep my mouth shut for sure.
Okay, so shifting gears, if you had to recommend one anime and or one manga to someone who's never touched either, what would they be and why?
For manga, I would be recommending Goku Rakugai, even though it's still very fresh, even though it's still publishing. I think it's just so iconic and beautifully drawn, and the story is interesting, and the characters are so like fun, but also terrifying. The things that they do to each other and themselves is crazy, and I think it really, really hooked me, and a lot of the people that I know that are currently reading it are obsessed. For anime though, I think it's got to be Dandadan, just in the same vein. There's a lot of shock value, but it's also very relatable. It is like a high school comedy romance, supernatural drama, action series with demons and magic powers. So I think it has everything anyone could want.
Both awesome answers, both that like if you recommended to me for the first time, I know I'd come back to you after consuming that content going, you are the best, I love you so much, thank you for these recommendations, because great characters, great strong female characters in both as well, I got to say. And both gorgeously drawn as well as animated now with Dandadan, and hopefully the, you know, eventual Goku Rakugai anime we might get in a couple of years, fingers crossed. Okay, so I looked at this from a couple of different angles. I thought from an anime perspective, I thought, all right, for like what's going to be safest and have the easiest barrier to entry. So usually like anything Ghibli is a very, very safe bet. Like, so you could sort of find out what they're into and then narrow that sort of decision down based off that from that giant, massive film archive. So you could go that route. I also feel, you know, 90-minute films are a bit of an easier commitment than potentially 12, 24, 36, whatever episode run. So that could be a nice little sort of segue for them into anime. But I was thinking other entries that really showcase different worlds of anime. And I thought Demon Slayer, because yes, there is some violence, but there is some comedy. It's one of the best looking anime you will ever see. I think it's really easy to consume. It's really easy to follow. It's got a cool value to it as well. The soundtrack is great. I thought Haikyuu could be a really good one, because I could not give a rat's ass about volleyball, but I care so much about volleyball due to Haikyuu. And it's just a story that's universal, that transcends different media types. Again, the animation's great. It's got one of the best openings of all time. Like, anytime I hear that fly high going, like, I'm like, I can fucking jump into the clouds right now. There ain't nothing I can do. And the last one, a little bit more grounded, could be particular to the sort of consumer as well, but Violet Evergarden, because each one of those episodes, they are sort of a bottle episode based way of storytelling that weaves in an overarching plot. I love it. I like that it's a little bit more scaled back period piece drama with some cool sort of steampunky vibes, like the fact that our lead has, you know, robotic arms and whatever else. Like, it's a little different, but it's not too different from some of the anime that we could recommend to people where they go, whoa, what is this? Like, I only like to watch Star Wars. What is going on? Like, it's something I think that's consumable and enjoyable. Manga, I'm going to go with Marriage Toxin. I've been really, really vibing with this. Like, gorgeous art. It's fun. It's wild. It's a little crazy. It's a, you know, heartfelt story about love, assassins, and then also like building your own self-confidence in life around people, not only from a friendship perspective, but also a potential love perspective. So I think there's some cool relatability there, and it's just a unique premise, which is silly, but it works. And I'm just going to sort of then throw one more in as a bonus and say, with manhwa, I'm going to go Omniscient Reader's Viewpoint. Like the biggest fan of an apocalyptic web novel has been suddenly transported and woken up inside the story, and yet he's the only one who knows how this web novel ends. Like, it's got cool mystery, it's got a lot of intrigue, it's got a lot of heart, a lot of pop culture references. So there's a lot of stuff that people could read this and go, oh, I love Jurassic Park, or I love this reference to sci-fi thing XY. Like, it is just fun and cool and silly and serious. And there's a lot of hot boys as well. So that is obviously a good positive checkbox for people too.
Okay, I need to go back to the question of this where it really specifies one anime. And Brendan has given us all of Studio Ghibli, Demon Slayer, Haikyuu, and Violet Evergarden. So if you're a beginner to anime, please watch all of these. This is Brendan's recommendation.
I think, circling back to when we were talking about food earlier, like, I take a lot of pride in my recommendations. Mm. Like, I had a friend of mine, Dean, messaged me the other day, and he's like, hey, I've got a friend who wants to get into anime. What do you recommend? And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, motherfucker, I need more information to go by here.
Not just a random guy, right?
Yeah. So I sort of asked, like, what are you into? Like, what is he into? Whether it be, has he watched any anime before? What live action stuff does he watch? Like, what's his interest? And then from there, I went, narrowed it down to a few and said, check those out. Yeah. So that was the basis of my response here, because the last thing you want to do is someone goes, oh, I've never watched anime, what do you recommend? And you just go, oh, yep. Ikki Tazen, good luck. you know. So that was my prefacing of my very long-winded answer. So sorry for skirting the rules there.
No, it's fine. You're just a rule breaker. We get it.
That's it. I'm just a bad boy.
No, really solid answers though, despite the fact that you broke the rules, but that's fine.
That's what we do here. I don't play LOL, but I do play LOL.
It's true though. Like, you can't just give a recommendation off of no info. Like, each person will be different. Let's go to the next one. What's your most controversial anime opinion?
I'm ready to watch the world burn here, Courtney.
Yeah.
The big three are not even in the conversation about being the greatest anime of all time. I really fucked up the rhythm there, but you get the point. And if you didn't, because I clapped over my vocals, the big three should not be anywhere near the conversation of greatest anime of all time. I don't care who you are and what kind of counterpoint you're going to come at me. Longevity does not equal greatness.
Yeah, I see that. Like, I don't, as someone who has only really watched Naruto and not even Shippuden, like, I watched the original series and then I read all of the Shippuden manga, I'm like, I feel like I can't even say that, like, but it would never touch my top 10 list. So yeah, I'd agree with that. Mine is that I don't know if it counts as like an anime opinion necessarily, but I really dislike talking about anime with other anime fans unless I really, really trust them as people and I know them or they're my friends, because they always end up saying something that pisses me off and saying, you know, they think they know more or have seen more, and it's usually a man. and I just want to fight them. And I'm like, I can't, you can't fight people you've just met. You know, like, that's really rude. So if we are not friends, let's become friends first, and then I'll talk to you about anime.
I think that's a totally fair opinion, because yes, you take a lot of pride in your opinion, and you're not just shooting from the hip. Like, you didn't just think of that off the cuff. Like, this is a world and a medium that you love and adore. And then when you get these cowboys shooting from the hip, thinking they know all because, yeah, they've watched this or that and the other, like, that really gives me the ick. So that is certainly something that I am hesitant with sometimes as well. But then other times where I just feel like creating a bit of drama, I will gladly throw like that little grenade in there and sort of see how people react.
Yeah, that's fair. I think for me, especially as a woman who enjoys anime, I just know how tiring it is to get involved in those conversations, because a lot of men, you know, will see that I'm a woman and they don't know that I've watched a lot of stuff, and I, you know about it, and I talk about it, and I really like live in this fandom, and they really make a lot of assumptions, and I get really angry. So I tend to just avoid it altogether. And that's, yeah, probably my most controversial one.
And like, for anyone that is listening that has taken any offense to what Courtney said, like, maybe you got to take a step back and look yourself in the mirror too, because yeah, like, those opinions, those, like, that's a core value, that's a belief. Just be better, hear people out, have a conversation. Don't just dismiss and stomp people into the ground because what they like is different to what you like. That's not what we're promoting here.
Yeah, even though Brendan watches so much shitty isekai, I still love and respect him.
Just keeps me grounded knowing that I'm better than this. Keeps me humble. All right, the next question that I want to throw your way: which anime character do you think you're most like, and which one would your co-host say you're actually like?
Okay, I have kind of misread this question.
But I answered it the same way as you.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. So I would say, I think I'm most like Umaru-chan from Himoto Umaru-chan, and I think that's just in my branding at this point as an anime content creator. Like, everyone kind of relates her to me, which wasn't super intentional, but it is what it is, and I love it. So good. I think, answering the question correctly, you would say that I'm actually like Umaru-chan as well. Everyone does, so that's fine. But I actually think Brendan, in my eyes, is most like Kafka Hibino from Kaiju Number 8.
I saw that when I jumped into the dock this morning and almost had like a little solitary tear trickle down the cheek, because I'm like, I love Kafka so much. And being a 30-something man who, yeah, sometimes feels, you know, the best is over, like, I really resonate with Kafka and his values and his drive and, you know, him just trying to do the right thing even though the world has passed him by. So I saw that and I'm like, thanks, Courtney.
Like, honestly, like, every time I watch Kaiju Number 8 and I see him, I'm like, this, it feels very you. Like, he's always positive, always trying really hard, working really hard. Even if he doesn't get the result he wants, like, he'll keep going and doing his best, and I really respect it.
Thank you so much. And yeah, you can learn a lot from not only Kaiju Number 8, but yeah, specifically at times Kafka, he's just a good dude. So thank you for seeing me in that light. This is a hard one, because I feel like I'm like, I don't know if there's one specific anime. Like, I was sort of trying to take bits and pieces to sort of see who maybe blends together to be myself. So I sort of said that I feel like I'm a mixture of Anna Yamane from Makain, Yami from Black Clover, and Snorlax from Pokemon. I'm like, you know what? You throw them together and that's probably me, for better or for worse. Like, food driven, good heart, ready to fight for you when and if the time comes. The only thing that's opposite compared to those comparisons is that I don't smoke like Yami. Yeah. That's all that's sort of lacking. But maybe I got to take it up to fully sort of own that mantle. And yeah, I feel that the only true answer for you is Umaru-chan. Yeah. Like, you are her to a T. I was sort of trying to think of anyone else that could be like Courtney adjacent. There is like a bit of power from Chainsaw Man in you. So she could probably get a bit of an honorable mention, but no, you embody her from like Umaru-chan, who mean, yeah, like 110%. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if somehow the mangaka just met you in real life and you were the, you know, you were the inspiration for this character somehow, some way. Like, it just feels like you and her are the same person.
It's actually funny because, kind of speaking of this, the next question, also I picked characters that I really relate to as well. So the next one is, you get to assemble your own anime team, like a heist crew or a battle squad. Pick five characters from any anime. Who's on your team and what is the mission that you're on?
This was tough because you jumped in and answered before I got a chance to, because I wanted to just have like an all snack, all food related team. But that, you know, minor spoiler, you do reference some of the good vibes in your team in a second. So I've sort of gone a different way. I'm like, all right, let's go with like a battle squad here that I feel that could probably 100% kick your respective squad's ass. Not like you as in like anyone out there with their own little squads. Probably could kick your team's ass as well, but anyway. But also like bring a little bit of chaos to the team, a little bit of unpredictability, a little bit of wildness, whether it be crazy, cheeky, zany. So I've got Power from Chainsaw Man as part of my team. You know, Blood Devil, loves a bit of fried chicken, has a heart of gold, is a little crazy, a little bit of a wild card. I've got Frieren from Frieren Beyond's Journey's End because, you know, she's probably one of the strongest beings in the universe. And not only could she probably one-shot all these other battle squads, but she has a little bit of sort of, you know, childlike cheekiness to her behavior. Nue Haruhime, who was the, you know, the primary antagonist from Kill la Kill. She's a badass. She is a little bit of a cheeky sweetheart at times as well. So she's in my team. I've got Revy from Black Lagoon. Again, badass, powerful female, but has a bit of a heart of gold. And then my last one, I wanted to bring Alucard from Helsing in. So give me the like hot, cool vampire guy that, you know, fucks around and then doesn't fuck around. So that's my five. So it's a bit of a diverse offering, but I feel we can throw down, we can have a good time. We could probably set a house on fire for fun just for the shits and giggles as well. And then, you know, run away laughing together hysterically.
Honestly, the thought of like going on a mission sounds so tiring to me. So I was like, who would I want to just have a day where I like hang out, we can nap, eat snacks, game, watch anime, like be lazy, order a bunch of Uber Eats. So I picked Elda from Otaku Elf, who I really relate to. Minami Kotori from Love Live, because she is just such a freak and I love her. Usagi from Sailor Moon. Ebina from Umaru-chan, so she's Umaru-chan's best friend. And Toru from Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. And it's funny that you say your team would kick my team's ass because I have a literal dragon on my team. And an elf, like a thousands-year-old elf. So, and Sailor Moon, hello.
Yeah.
We would be.
I just feel like I've got some undead, you know, vampiric kings here. Revy's certainly the weakest person in my team by far. Mm-hmm. I just sort of brought her as like, you know, I didn't want to just go, I'm going to have, you know, Saitama from One Punch Man and like Frieza and just make a god tier team. So I've tried to tread both lines. So yeah, maybe I'll end in a draw. Let's see.
Yeah, I have a dragon. I'm just going to say again.
Yeah, but Frieren probably like eats dragons for breakfast.
That's true, actually. All right, maybe you do win.
But we all win here because anime is great. But all right, the next question, Courtney, what's an anime opening or ending that you never skip no matter how many times you've seen it?
Kamisama Kiss. Season one, I will never, ever, ever skip that opening. It's so sweet and fun. I think I've like Pavloved myself with that anime. As soon as I hear the opening, I just like start drooling. I'm like, yes, okay, time to watch. I will sit and enjoy.
I've gone from a completely different angle here. And I've landed on Neon Genesis Evangelion, A Cruel Angel's Thesis by Yoko Takahashi. That song will never, ever be ignored, whether it be watching the anime or just popping up on a random playlist. It is just a toe tapper that brings it, and I'm here for it every single time.
Yes, that is actually a really good one. That, and add the opening for Serial Experiments Lane as well.
Oh, yeah, good call.
So good. The classic debate, though, sub versus dub, where do you stand? Are there any exceptions?
We don't yuck anybody's yums around here, Courtney. So however you want to consume your anime is 100% fine by me. But the only exception that I feel needs to be experienced at least once is give me that Ghost Stories English dub. You cannot watch that any other way, just for the sheer insanity that comes from it. Other than that, yeah, you do you. You want the English track, you want the Japanese track, you want whatever other language you're familiar with, go for it.
Yeah. No, 100%. And like, I used to be a sub only enjoyer. And then I watched the dub for Solo Leveling and I was like, well, voice actors are amazing and they truly are masters of their craft. And, you know, I think a lot of people like think of the four kids, the shitty four kids dubs from the early 2000s. And that's why they're so staunchly sub only. But if you have a good dub, and a lot of dubs now are worth the time, mm-hmm. I think definitely give it a chance.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, you know, we talked about Dundadun earlier. Like, I resonate more towards the English track on that because some of the more comedic references that are thrown in there hit better with that, and you lose some of that that subtext on the J track. But yeah, you do you, boo. You consume your anime however you want. All right, Courtney. If you had the power to revive or continue one cancelled or completed anime series with full budget, originals cast slash staff, who slash what would you bring back?
I originally wrote down Great Teacher Onizuka because that is a classic series. But then I really, really thought about it. And I was like, actually, I think it has to be Yu-Gi-Oh! Season Zero, because a lot of people don't know about it, but it was the darkest season of Yu-Gi-Oh! It was definitely not like a kid's show back then. There are characters that don't appear in any of the other Yu-Gi-Oh! Series, and it was kind of cut short and never had a second season, but I really, really enjoyed it and it was fantastic.
Did this trigger because you were just snuggled up this morning under your Yu-Gi-Oh! Duna cover and you were just like, that's right, this is the true answer?
I wish I still had that cool cover. That would be amazing.
I love that. Yes. I love that. This was another hard question because there's so many anime that has been done dirty or just like cut without a conclusion over the years. So I sort of reflected on this for a while and I ultimately ended on, I don't know if you've watched this one or read this one, but Seraph of the End, which is a dark fantasy anime, came out in 2015. We got 24 episodes, ties into, you know, humanity's been wiped out by some mysterious virus. Vampires have risen up and are enslaving all the remaining children. So we sort of follow Yuichihiro, who has like joined this ragtag military group, and his goal is to sort of uncover what actually happened to sort of trigger this apocalypse, as well as seek a juicy amount of revenge. Like, it is a good time, and I want more of that because it ended very abruptly and there's a lot more lore to be uncovered through. I think there was 11 volumes of the manga, so there's a lot more juicy storytelling to come from that, and it was well animated too.
I actually haven't seen this one, but it has been on my list for a really, really long time, and I do definitely want to check it out. And hearing your description, I'm like, okay, I need to watch this sooner rather than later because it sounds amazing.
Good time.
Yeah, but let's spill some dirty secrets, Brendan. What was your cringiest or funniest anime phase or fandom moment growing up?
Again, this was a tough question. So shout out to everyone throwing some of these questions at us because they made me stop and pause and try and work out if I have like a proper answer to this, because Courtney's answer is fantastic and it runs rings around mine, I've got to say, minus spoilers. But like, because I started at the deep end of the anime pool where I was just in amongst all this more mature adult themed stuff, I avoided a lot of the phases and fandoms, I think, like where a lot of people were watching your Dragon Balls and your Sailor Moons, I was too busy checking out, you know, Wicked City, Bubblegum Crisis, etc., etc. So the coolest slash funniest thing I could think of is sort of in my early teenage years, I sort of formed part of almost like this underground bootleg VCD revolution in the small country town I grew up in, because obviously we didn't have access to this content readily available. We had like two stores where you could like buy DVDs or VHSs. And it was a very limited, very generic, what is on the, like at the cinema right now. And that's kind of it. So there wasn't a ton of stuff around. So me and a few people at school, like we'd do sort of trips to Canberra or to Sydney, and you could buy these bootleg VCD box sets. And so we'd bring them back to back to the hometown and sort of almost then create like this economy where we were sort of sharing these bootleg box sets with people, or some people maybe downloading certain episodes off like LimeWire or Kazaa and bringing them in. So we had this very underground, now I say it out loud, I guess, largely illegal media share empire going on, where it was almost comical in a way where not a lot of people at the school knew who the main people behind the scenes were. So there's always like layers between us and the potential customers or people that were sharing. So there was like this anonymity attached to this like illegal bootleg currency, and it felt like I was in like some B-grade low-end small town like mafioso story at times. But that's probably the one that I thought of here when I had to think back.
See, that's actually really cool, because mine is
so, yours is great,
so cringe. When I was 19, I was a part of the Yu-Gi-Oh roleplay fandom on Tumblr. I spent hours of my life role-playing with people on the internet as a female version of Bakura from Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters. And that's my one claim to fame that I have.
Have you still got your old Tumblr account?
No, I do not. I deleted that so fast. My God, what was I thinking?
There'd be some gold to mine out of that, I'm sure, if it was still around.
What was I thinking? Holy.
So good. It's so good. I love that. I love that for you so much. And yeah, shout out to whoever's out there still Yu-Gi-Oh! Role-playing on Tumblr or whatever your website of choice is these days. Like, you're the real MVPs out there, that's for sure. Okay, we're getting into the last couple of questions here on episode 50. Courtney, I want to know, if this podcast were an anime, what would the genre be? Who's the protagonist? And what's the season one cliffhanger? And for a bonus point, give us a ridiculous anime title.
Okay, so I originally went into this thing, oh, it'll be like a slice of life comedy. It'll be like really silly and goofy. I was like, no, that's what everyone expects. So to subvert expectations, I picked that it would be a drama slash horror series. The protagonist would be one of our listeners, maybe one of our Patreon supporters. The cliffhanger at the end of season one is that the listener finally finds out that both Brendan and I are ghosts. And the title is "The Anime Podcast I Love is Haunted."
That sounds like an anime that I would consume the shit out of. Like, I love this idea. This sounds great but bad, but more so great. And I'm here for it. And I love the cliffhanger slash, you know, eventual twist where we're just like spectral podcasters here. We're spectral content creators that are just sort of, stuck in our respective studios forever.
Yeah, like I like the idea that they're like start listening to this podcast and then they're like, oh, it's really cool. And then they try and like find out about us because they think we're cool. And then it's like, but she's been dead the whole time.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I love, if we ever sort of fall into big money, let's get both of these created into anime. Yeah, both of our ideas here.
I agree.
Because I've watched far worse. Like, hand to heart, I've watched some crap. And these ideas are not crap. These are gold.
Yeah, what's your idea?
Okay, so my idea, again, like I wanted to try and do different to Courtney's idea because, she jumped into the dock first. And I thought, you know, let's look at it from two different lenses. So I've got sort of like a slice of life musical adjacent type of genre here. The main protagonist of this anime is Chiyo, our beloved Sakura Society mascot. She's already got a look that fits this world pretty well. And so the story slash cliffhanger, we've got sort of got like this rap style podcast battles that are taking place like all over the world where podcasters, coming out of the ground, like, you know, grassroots level stuff, trying to be, you know, crowned the number one podcaster in all of the world. So the way that the cliffhanger would end is we sort of work out if Chiyo makes her way through just the local regionals. So we're going to have multi-season. She's got to work through, you know, state-based stuff. Then it goes national. Then it goes global. Like, it's a whole thing. I've got a three-season arc planned out here. It's going to be a great time. And so they get on the mic and they've just sort of see who can podcast better. So we see local people in, you know, Sydney and Melbourne do battle. And then, it's it's a national perspective. Then we see the globals all come together. I picture like 8 Mile, but just podcast form. Like, I think it would be so good. And the way I envision like the words flowing across the screen, almost like what we're seeing in like My Hero Academia Vigilantes at the moment, like, I think it would look great and it'd just be a good time.
I like it. And I think what would make it really fun is if it was also like a battle royale.
Mm. Yeah, I'm here for it. Yeah, like could have real stakes where you lose, you're dead. Like,
yeah.
The microphone is like some sentient creature and it just like opens up and bites their heads off or something. So
yeah.
And the title, I couldn't really land on the title that I'm completely comfortable with. So what I've got is, you know, podcasters, colon, how the poor cousins of the content creation community made it rich. So I sort of tied into these long isekai titles that everyone knows and loves. And, you know, podcasts are always seen as the poor cousins. So fuck you, other content creators.
Yeah, no, I actually really like that. I think it's a fun little idea. Podcasting, yeah. Anime when?
Yeah, hopefully soon.
Mappa, please. Hello.
Yeah, what are you doing apart from, you know, enslaving your staff and probably underpaying them things? Like, talk to us. We got some great ideas. Better than Zenshu, I'll tell you that much for free, Mappa.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Courtney, we've got one last question before we jump into our final comments here for episode 50 of More Than Headlines. Any advice for budding podcasters and content creators?
Just go for it. Just start. And I know it's the advice that everyone gives any upcoming budding content creator or podcaster, but it's true. Like, you can sit there and watch YouTube videos and tutorials and find resources for days, but if you don't start, you're not reaching anyone because you're not putting yourself out there. And just starting, I think, is the biggest thing. And don't be scared of being cringe. Being cringe is the path to success.
Excellent words that I wholeheartedly agree with. I'd also say, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Like, if you think, oh, I'm just going to jump on, like, make a podcast or jump on TikTok or whatever, I'm going to become a celebrity and make millions of dollars, like, maybe don't look at it from that perspective. Like, make sure that whatever content you're creating, you're 100% in for. Like Courtney mentioned regarding the cringe part, like, just own what you're doing. Make sure you're 100% in, because listeners and viewers can sense that if you're doing this just for a paycheck or just to check a box, like, they want to be listening and watching people that are living their best life, that they are there 100% talking about anime or, you know, professional wrestling or, you know, the intricacies of white paint compared to beige paint. Like, whatever it is, like, make sure you're in and you're owning that passion, and don't let any white noise, you know, scare you away from that. Like, you know, own your fandoms, own your love, and good things will come from that. Because at least for me, when I'm consuming content, whether it be, you know, in the same vein that we are here or completely unrelated fandoms, like, I want to feel like these people, they don't have to, you know, be the sensei and know every single piece of a story or be the, you know, the gatekeeper of every piece of information. But if they're having a good time, I'm going to be having a good time too. So I think you want to make content that is enjoyable, that is accessible, and that is true to who you are as a potential content creator.
Yes, very, very true. Because you will burn out if you are doing it for the wrong reasons. But let's get into our final comments, Brendan. Because I know I mentioned it last week, but I want to mention it again. Anime Trivia, we're coming back to Fortress Sydney and Fortress Melbourne, hosted by us. Tickets are $10 each, and you can get them online at the link in our Instagram. They will sell out, guys. The seats are very, very limited, so please make sure you pick up a ticket. There'll be a cosplay competition, awesome prizes. We're giving away some goodies. It's going to be a great, great night.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a ton of fun. We're going to be having great times running this in parallel in both Sydney and Melbourne, which is exciting. We've got a really cool sort of assortment of questions that are fun and interactive and a little bit clever and a little bit crazy here and there. It's going to be a good time. And $10, like, you're practically making money. You know, $10, come on down, have a great time. This coming Thursday kicks off a little after 6 o'clock. So get in there as early as you can, get a comfy seat, you know, have a chat to us. We'll be walking the show floor and, you know, making this as fun and exciting and as welcoming as possible. And even like, if you don't know anyone or you don't have anyone else available, just come on down, grab a seat. We can pair you up with some other people, or, you know, we may or may not sort of unofficially join your team as we're hosting the trivia. Who the hell knows? But come on down, have a good time. Everybody's welcome. And we hope to see you all there.
Yes. And a huge thank you to our producers, Orny, Duffo, and Matthew C. Thank you guys so, so much for supporting us on Patreon. And Orny, thank you for sending us our care packages. We adore them. It's so, so thoughtful, especially when, you know, we are doing this and we don't expect anything in return, obviously, but when people take the time to really have a think and give us a lovely, lovely gift, it means the world to us. So if you want to support us, you can check us out at patreon.com/sacrosociety. We have free and paid tiers. You can also join our Discord, where we will be chatting everything anime, gaming, and even wrestling sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And there's even a horny chat in there too, if you want to get a little bit more risque, because all are welcome. But yeah, thanks again to everyone that has followed us on this journey, whether it be from day one or day roughly 365 today. Like, we appreciate y'all. And yeah, those care packages, they were spelt with a capital C-A-R-E, that's for sure. Like, I'm loving it. I'm just sad that I can't finish this delicious bottle of plum soju right now, because I got grown-up things to do after this, and I got to get behind the wheel, because you don't drink and drive, because if you do, you're a bloody idiot. But yeah, check us out on the socials. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, especially. We're trying to do more video-related content at the Sakura SOC. Whether your anime be subbed, dubbed, or still yet to come, enjoy yourself, and much love to all the gorgeous waifus and husbandos out there. We'll see you at episode 100. Goodbye.
Mata ne.